We at Mount Zion's Mission Barbados Four Square Church, with Senior Apostles Dr. Lucille and Chris Beard, invite you to tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory, to hear the powerful Word of God that will transform and change your life. Remember, the church that's alive is worth the drive. Let's hear the Word of God.
Good morning to all listeners in Barbados, the Caribbean, and wherever in the world you're listening. I am so happy and thrilled and blessed to be able to come to you again another Friday morning. Let you know that God is still God and that His light is still shining on us, blessed God, and we are rising and shining on His behalf as a church, as a people, and individually. I'm Reverend Lucille Beard. With me in the studio, we have Apostle Chris Beard. He's going to give greetings at this time. And then we have Reverend Gail, my associate pastor. And we have a new person that's going to greet you this morning. Is Elder Andrew Octave, a mighty man of God from Mount Zion's Mission. So Apostle Chris is going to give greetings after we have Elder Octave pray for us. Pray for us, Elder Octave.
A blessed good morning to the family of Mount Zion's Mission and to all of the individuals who are listening to this great and awesome presentation. Father, we give you thanks today as we are able to assemble once again to bring the Word of God to your people. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you've given to us. We pray, Father, that they will continue to listen to your word and what we plant in their hearts, what the seeds that you will sow in their spirits, Father, will be watered by you continuously. And we decree and declare that the word of God shall take root and the kingdom of God shall be elevated in the land of Barbados. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so very much,
Elder
Octave. What a powerful prayer. Precisely to the point. Thank you, sir. Apostle Chris, we'll give you greetings at this time. Apostle Chris?
Good morning, Barbados. While the Caribbean, it's an honor and a privilege to spend a moment with you. We see you and we recognize you and that you're very important to us. So we want to share this great news with you that God is still alive. Okay. He's still doing things well. He's still in charge. No matter the amount of confusion we see hanging around us, God is still in charge, and we could put all our hopes in Him. We're assured of one thing, He will never leave us or forsake us. No matter what we go through, we have to walk away from Him. He'll never walk away from us. That's a great privilege we have, and we honor God for that. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Apostle Chris. That's a great challenge to those that are listening. God bless you. Reverend Gail, Associate Pastor of Mount Zion's Mission, is going to greet you as well.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and wonderful blessings, multiplied grace and peace to you. Everyone who's listening on the internet, we greet you in the most powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One thing that I can tell you, wherever you are, at what point you're listening, may your light shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ, and may everything you do and you say be impactful to the people that is surrounding you at this time. God bless you.
God bless you, Reverend Gail. Isn't it wonderful to be alive in these last days? We, the last day church, empowered to act on behalf of heaven, to act on behalf of God, given the mandate from God to shine in the midst of the darkness. Amen. We must not be overwhelmed with the darkness. And we're seeing darkness everywhere we turn. Darkness is coming from all areas of our lives, our society, in the schools, in the communities, on the block, the churches too, wherever there's darkness, particularly on the world scene. We have a lot of confusion now with all the things that are happening on the world scene with the USA and all that stuff. But we're not bothered. We're not worried. We are not going to be discouraged because the Lord has promised that when it gets darker, He will increase the glory. He will increase the light upon our life. Yeah. And that makes us excited to be alive, even in the midst of darkness. You see, God is not fazed by darkness because the Bible says in the beginning that there was a lot of darkness, gross darkness, and God did not get fazed. The Bible said, and God said, praise God, and God spoke to the darkness, and God said, let there be light. And I want you to know that God spoke to the light, and it came forth. And we have, God has given us that power and authority to speak into darkness and declare light. Amen. Wherever we want to see light instead of darkness. And so as a church and as a pastor in 2025, we go forward as a mighty army of God.
Hallelujah.
Speaking his word, declaring who he is, and declaring what we want to see in the earth, and declaring who we are in the earth. And Daniel saw us years and years ago, and Daniel said, it's the people that's coming. In the last day, the people of God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. So God is expecting us, despite the darkness around us, despite the darkness that's enveloping our politics, our people, our citizens, our countries, wherever, God is saying, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And it's important that, as Christians, that we show the light of God.
Yeah.
We cannot behave like the people in the world, because we have Jesus. We're born again. We carry his DNA and we have his mandate. And so when people are reacting in fear and anxiety and they don't know what to do next or where to go, we must not be like that, because we know that our God lives. We know that our God is powerful. And he said, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and so on. And so we walk in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that came on the apostles on the day of Pentecost and changed radically their lives. Men that were weak and helpless and pitiful and was just arguing who was going to sit on the left and the right in heaven and couldn't cast out a demon. Those men, with the power of God, turned the world upside down.
Amen.
Praise God. We are anointed just like they are. We have the Holy Spirit just like they do. And we want to do the works that they do and more, because Jesus said, because they go to the Father, greater works shall you do. And we expect to see the great works in these last days. And I'm excited. And we are seeing a lot of great works, Reverend Gail.
Oh, yes.
And Elder. Over at Mount Zion's Missions. We had our convention in October. We saw some miracles, unusual miracles on the Monday night. And we had the miracles service. And God is still doing great miracles. God is still showing himself and showing his glory. And God will do that, because he's God, and because he cannot lie, and because he cannot fail, because he's faithful, he will continue to do the great things that we ask Amen. Him to do, that we expect him to do. If you expect him to do miracles, he will do miracles. Praise God.
Praise God.
So I'm here today again to encourage somebody. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in a place that's dark. As your child of God, that's not where you should be. If you're feeling discouraged and stressed and downtrodden, if you feel alone, you know, I want to remind you that you're never alone. That the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he will always have on you is his mark, the mark of his glory, the mark of his light upon you. Moses said, I will not go without your glory, Lord. Because how else will they know that I'm different? And I'm different from those other people, unless your glory go with me. And it's important as the children of God that we carry his presence and his glory wherever we go. And that's something I've always applied to my life. Wherever I go, I want the glory of God to be with me and on me. And to, you know, show God's power. When I speak, when I open my mouth, somebody must say, something touched me. Whatever I put my hands to do, somebody must be blessed. The glory of God must be manifested.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. And I thank God that has been the hallmark of my ministry among Zion's Missions, where the glory of God has always been manifested. People come there all the time and they say, the glory of the Lord is here. They feel his presence, they see his glory. And I'm so glad about that. And this program is called In God's Glory. And it's not a cliche, it's for real. We do experience the glory of God.
Amen.
And the power of God and the might of God and the characteristics of God displayed in our ministry and in our personal lives. Reverend Gail wants to continue to interrogate me, continue to question, ask me some questions concerning my walk and my ministry in the last 30 years. Of course, I've been a pastor for over 42 years, but I have been senior pastor of Mount Zion's Missions for 30 years, because Mount Zion's Missions is celebrating 30 years as a ministry. And Reverend Gail started last week, and many of you said you enjoyed the program and so on. And again, we wanted to continue in that vein, because she's sitting here looking at me, you know, with her eyes over her glasses, like, let's get to it. Praise God. So, Reverend Gail, I hand over to you with a smile on my face to continue to ask the questions that you want to ask.
Thank you, Apostle. You are always right on time and very funny in your saying things, and we thank God for you each and every day of our lives as a people of Mount Zion Missions, because we recognize that God has called you. And this is Apostle Lucille's story for those persons who are listening. I was very excited to hear the comments and the people who called and messaged to say what a wonderful interview it was last week, because it isn't often that you hear the story of a leader who is in the trenches serving God. And many times people don't know, they see them, but they never know the heartache, the challenges, all the things that they go through, the mountains and the valley experience. So we thank God that we were able to bring this. In our 30 years of celebration, we are celebrating not because we are a ministry of 30 years, but because we have walked with the Lord and he has led and fed us for 30 years. And we need to be able to tell our story. So today we are going to continue with Apostle Lucille. And of course, I'm going to invite Apostle Chris to answer a couple of questions, because it's important, especially for emerging leaders, to know the walk of somebody who has walked and been and their experience. So last week it was very phenomenal, and this week I'm sure that people will be blessed. So I just wanted to ask you, Apostle, because you are an apostle, you are a pastor, you are a woman of God, but you are also a wife, and you're also mother. And you're also grandmother. How do you balance your life while remaining committed to the call to be a minister? How do you balance it?
Well, Reverend Gill, I have to balance it because I have to minister to the church, and I also have to minister to my family. And so it's very important. You can do well as a pastor, and you can follow as a family person. You can follow as a mother. You can follow as a wife, you can follow as a grandmother. And so I've always asked the Lord to give me the grace and that knowledge and wisdom to know how to balance my life as a church leader, which is very demanding, with the life of being a pastor and a mother and a grandmother and a wife. I believe that one of the first things that I had to do was to recognize that I was not the priest in my house, but I am the priest at church.
Yes.
God is at church. My husband is the priest at home.
That's important.
And to recognize him as the priest, and to let the children know that your daddy is the priest in the house. So when mommy's at home, she sits on in the priest of the house, her husband. And when mommy's at church, she operates as the priest in charge of the house, as God has ordained. So that's one area that must be dealt with up front. Otherwise, all the other things will fall down. So you have to establish that you are priest only at church, as a female, and then at home, then you recognize your husband to be that priest, to lean on him. And I believe because my husband is a quiet, sober, you know, person. He's always there ready to give advice and direction in a very sober manner. And so that has helped me a lot. It's like you have a kite and you have a cord.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the kite and he's the cord.
Apostle Chris, you are the cord.
Because some days, you know, I'm flying all over the place, I'm going out. You know, you need the core to keep you grounded.
He's a stabilizer.
He's stabilizing. Yes. So I'll be able to balance. And of course, my children are very much involved in what I do at church. So I've always said to them, this is what I do. God has called me to do this. And I believe that this is a place for you based on what the Lord is saying to you, and to hear their heart and to guide them. And I'm really happy that the Lord was able to raise my children up in the church, and that they're both in ministry. One is a pastor and one is a minister in church, and they serve in the house of the Lord. So I believe that I have done what needed to be done, as God would help me to do it, balance it properly so that I did not neglect or ignore my family life. Because sometimes you can get so involved in the ministry. I remember working in the prison. Sometimes I go to prison early in the morning, just after 8 o'clock, and got back home after 7. So I give a lot to not just to the church, but also to the prison ministry. 25 years of my life, first as a volunteer, and then as a rehabilitation officer. And it put a lot of demands on me. And so I remember my son, when he was getting ready to go to university overseas, he looked at me and he said, I need my mother. And I said, how do you mean you need your mother? I was always here. He said, you're always with some prisoner or ex-inmate or with somebody. I want you for myself. So take them with me. And that was an eye-opener for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was given all, and I realized I wasn't given enough. He was not happy. So I said, okay, I stopped everything. I put everything on hold. I caught the plane and went with him to England, make sure he was taken care of, stay with him facilitated him and so on. And that's what he wanted. Just wanted his mom's attention so he could fly for his in a new way. So you have to take time to listen to your children, know their hearts, heart's requests, and to be able to meet those needs as they come up.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we know that I've come upon the youth from since 1994. Mm-hmm. And we have had all of our challenges, but God has been always faithful and good to us. So what would you say is the most rewarding aspect of shepherding a congregation for 30 years? And you would have shepherded in this unique way, whereby for those who didn't know, the Apostle Lucille started as the Sunday school superintendent. Yes. And raised up children from under the mango tree.
Yes.
That it came into a full-fledged church.
That's right.
And from that church, it grew.
Yes.
And then here you are 30 years later, not just for the Rockdunda people,
yes,
but you have now touched people nearly in every parish
of
this nation.
Mm-hmm.
So how rewarding would you say it is, the aspects of shepherding the people?
It has been very rewarding for me. So when you look back and you realize you've gone through the tears, difficulties, you've gone through the lion's den, you've gone through the fiery furnace and so on, you'll say it's worth it. When I look at a person like you, Reverend Gail, one of my members that I raised up from just a young lady walking in the church looking very lost, and I prophesied to you first time you came in accurately, and you knew that that had to be God. I didn't know you. I never met you before. And the Lord turned your life around and you got saved and changed. And look at you now, an anointed woman of God, apostolically anointed and prophetically manifesting the gifts of God. That to me is a blessing. And I've not just raised up you, I've raised up several pastors, Reverend Elvis and Pastor Sonia and Pastor Alexander and Pastor Joanne and Pastor Jones and all these mighty men and women of God that I can go overseas, I can travel the world now. I know that church goes on. And it's not about me. It's about the word of God, about God's church, God's pastor, and that there are people that I have been used by God to raise up, to birth in the earth, that knows the Lord and are passionate for God like me.
Amen.
And are committed to God like me and know the word of God like me. And I've done a lot of training. You know, as you know, I train and I retrain.
Yes, yes.
And I'm always training so that people know exactly why they're doing what they're doing and how to do it well. I'm never afraid to train anybody. I don't think that, you know, somebody's going to take over, whatever. This is God's work. So I'm always ready to train. So I feel satisfaction in my heart. I feel the joy of the Lord when I look around and see persons like you, Reverend Gail, and the other ministers and pastors and leaders functioning so effectively in church and out of church in the communities. When I see, like, recently we've gone into all the bus rides, and you all ministering to the passengers that are got on the bus, I can sit there very quietly. I don't do anything because you all are doing the work of God. And then when we had the after church ministries, evangelistic ministry in the villages where we've been before, and you all go and go into the homes, and that is satisfaction to me.
Amen.
And I feel, Lord, I have done what you wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have done it. I've imparted what you gave to me. I've passed on your first apostle. I'm about to pour out. I've poured out everything that I had to my people. I've not kept anything back. I've given from my heart. With love,
yes.
I have discipline when I have to. With love, I bless God, and I've shared my heart openly. I wear my heart on my shoulder. Bless God. And the people know that they're loved by me. Because
yes.
I'm there for them to thick or thin. When they hurt, I hurt. When they're sad, I'm sad. When they're happy, I'm happy. The people are my people that God has given to me. And to me, it's satisfying to me to see men and women of God come to their place in God and fulfill their role in God. And are happy doing the will and purpose of God.
Amen. And one thing that I can say, Apostle,
mm-hmm.
is that you have been the same way from the time I knew you until this very moment. And you have not changed in that trajectory at all. So we applaud you as Mount Zion Missions. Praise God. Now, Apostle Chris, I'm here with you. Hallelujah.
She's
and
enjoying.
We just wanted to know, what are the biggest lessons? And I know that you have a lot to say. What are the biggest lessons you have learned about leadership during these three decades?
That's a very important question to ask. But it's going to take a lot of thought for me, quite frankly. Because leadership is such a complex thing in every regard. I've learned a long time ago that a leader does not himself or herself possess all the tools he or she needs. Now, every leader must have another leader. Every leader, every individual must have a mentor that will take you through that process. You know what to do. Generally, you have an ambition, you have a grace, you believe you're talented and all that, but it's not enough to move us where God wants us to be. And for me personally, I found that yielding to God has been a great experience, a great exercise for me. Not rely on my own information, my education, my knowledge. It is not enough to take us to where God wants us to go. So I've learned a long time ago, if I rely on Him, in all my ways I acknowledge Him, He will direct me. If I look to Him in each place, at each time, at each juncture of our lives, of my life, or our lives for that matter, if I keep my eyes fixed on Him, I'm guaranteed one thing, I'm going to be led correctly. I'm going to be led in that path that God wants. And that brings glory and honor to the Lord, and that brings victory to me.
Amen.
The fact that I'm following someone I know will never fail me.
Praise God.
The fact that I know I'm serving someone who cares, who gives his life so tragically for us, that we could all find salvation. I mean, it's an awful great price to pay. He did it for us. I celebrate that. I appreciate that with all my heart that He's done that much. And the little bit I'm able to give to Him, I'm really excited about it. Yeah. There's anything I would do for my Lord.
There's
anything I would do for my Savior. There's anything I would do for my people.
Amen.
Because God has done it all for us.
Amen.
Give me the power to make it happen.
Amen. Apostle, would you like to just jump in there quickly to say what would be the biggest lesson that you've learned about leadership?
I've learned to trust God and to lean on God totally for everything. I've learned to let God be the pastor of the church. So when the bills come in, you don't have the money, you say, God, you're the pastor of the church, and it works. Praise God. So everything comes from God. Praise God. And all the answers are in God. I've learned that lesson from early. When the Lord told me to build the temple, the church, that beautiful temple you see on the hill, without a bank loan, it scared me. And, you know, I was petrified. And you can't build a temple, a multi-million dollar building without a bank loan. So I went to the bank to secure a loan, and I did secure a loan. But then the computer crashed. And all of a sudden, I told you, don't put my building in the hand of the unsafe. So I recognized that God wanted to build this temple Himself. And He proved Himself so well. And there are times when, on weekends, like Fridays, I'm supposed to pay the workers. Didn't have any money. Somebody would come and say, Pastor, I've had my tithes here for a couple of months. I haven't paid them. Here's my tithes. God was always faithful.
Amen.
So I have learned to just lean on God. I don't have all the answers, but God does.
Amen.
I don't know where to go next, but God does.
Amen.
I don't know what to say, but God knows. So my biggest lesson is learn to lean on God and trust Him totally. And that's why I love that song so much. I sought the Lord and He heard. And that's why I trust Him. I totally trust God my entire life. I got saved at the age of 9 years old. So I don't have life outside the church. I don't know what it is to go to dances and things like that. So I don't know how to compare with the past life. But I know as a little child, I didn't have the love of a father. But I clung to God as my daddy.
Amen.
And so I know Him as a daddy. And I trust Him as a daddy. And I rely on Him as daddy. And to me, daddy makes all things well.
Praise
when
God.
I put things in His hands.
Praise God, mm-hmm. Praise God. And my final question to you, and I'm sure that people would want to hear, as you're reflecting on the 30 years, what is your hope, your vision for the future of Mount Zion Missions and preparing the leaders to take on the mantle and run with it? What's your hope?
My hope and my vision is that the people of Mount Zion Missions, like yourself, and the elder, Octave, and all of the ministers, will carry on the mandate of God as He has given. You recognize that we exist to ensure
Amen.
That all peoples, nations, and languages will serve Him. That His indispensable, destructible kingdom, an everlasting dominion be established in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Carry on that vision that God has given. Ensure that His kingdom is always perpetuated. Where you go, if you're in a village, push his kingdom. If you're at work, push the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I want to see the kingdom of God in every nation. I want to see the kingdom of God in every household in Barbados. I want to see young men off the blocks in the kingdom of God serving. There are too many young pastors that are on the blocks right now. There are too many evangelists that are on the blocks right now. Too many prophets that are sitting on the blocks right now. So for the future, I want to see them in the place where they should be. I want to see them saved. I want to see them converted. I want to see the hand of God moving in Barbados like it used to move years ago. Power of God. When people go, their whole crusades, people come and just give their heart to the Lord. The devil can't have all the young people.
He cannot.
They can't have. I want to see God's temple, God's kingdom being established all across Barbados and especially all across the world. That's what I want to see for the future. Not just about Zion's missions, because it's not about Zion's missions alone. It's about God and so his kingdom. And when Jesus was on the earth, his sermon, his teaching, his preaching was kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. And that's where I am. Kingdom, kingdom, God's kingdom established in the earth, in every parish in Barbados, in every country in the world, God's kingdom.
Praise God. Powerful.
Praise
very
God.
Powerful. Thank you very much, Apostle Lucille and Apostle Chris. And there you have it. This is Mount Zion's Missions Barbados Foursquare Church, and we are located 4th Avenue, Rotdundo, St. James. And you have heard the story of our beginnings. And on that note, Apostle, I need to be able to share that as a community church, as we love the Lord, as we are celebrating 30 years, we are going to be in Golden Square Freedom Park on Friday the 14th and the 15th, Friday the 14th, Saturday the 15th. The army of God is arising in the city of Bridgetown. Mm-hmm. As you hear this, 7 p.m. every night, we'll be there. We are going to be storming the heavenlies on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to be carrying his kingdom to the city, and from the city, it will be poured out onto every parish. We believe that because we believe that we are the people whom God has called to send forth his power and his word. So please come out, join us on the Friday. We're going to be having preaching, we're going to be having intercession, powerful declarations, dance, and worship. And then on the Saturday, hallelujah, we outside people. We are going to be having people like Nisha Woods, Godsey, 13th Apostle, Jude Clark, Lyrical Man of, and the Men of God, Faith Butcher. And we have our very own Rebecca Price. We have Nisha Woods, and we have Excellency and the Pure Fire Band. Ensure that you are there 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Thank you very much. And now we want to give much thanks and praise to God for our sponsors, Nature Isle Landscape. They are very professional at the work of landscaping and beautifying your homes and properties. Please give them a call and benefit from their services. Contact information 436-4753. 436-4753. Let us know how this program has impacted you. Please call us. We want to hear you. 422-2512. 422-2512. The church that's alive is worth the drive.
Thank you so much, Reverend Gail. Thank you so much, Elder Octave, Apostle Chris. Thank you, listeners. God bless all of you. Looking forward to seeing you in Freedom Park Friday and Saturday. God bless you. Arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you as you tune in this and every Friday from 11:30 a.m. for In God's Glory on Life 97.5 FM.